This is CliffCentral.com.
Yes, good morning.
That's the tone of your normal voice with the flu this week.
Is that creepy? Is that how it sounds?
Jesus, I need to go to the doctor if that's the case.
You haven't been the whole week?
No, you know what? When you've got a cold or flu, what's a doctor going to do? They're going to prescribe stuff that doesn't work, so you're just going to sleep it off and get better. And I hope I'm getting better. I feel I've made progress, but I just hate being sick. It's so shit.
You see, I did tell you earlier this week that you are very rational when you're sick as well. Some of us become total babies. We want to go to the doctor to have pity.
I know, and there are also people who enjoy the attention that disease brings. And you know, there are those people who like check themselves into hospital when there's nothing wrong just because they want attention. It's usually people, it's like older people who don't have any family who care about them, or because they're a pain in the fucking ass. That's why no one cares about them.
Okay.
So they check people. So they check themselves into hospital so that there is a nurse or a doctor who have to pay attention to them.
And you don't like any of that.
I want to be on my own. Let me tell you what's happened this week. Tuesday, when I got home, stayed at home on my own, right? All night until the next morning. The first person and the last person I saw every day was the security guard at the gate.
Oh, yes.
Tuesday. Wednesday, what did I do on Wednesday? I think I did see the family on Wednesday, but no one else.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday, same thing, yesterday. And now I'm going away for the weekend. We're visiting some family friends in the Free State, so I'm going to go down there. But I'm already annoyed that I have to be around people, and I'm not feeling great.
And you drag yourself out of bed. No one's there to make some med lemon.
No, you know, I heard the most interesting lecture the other day about what it is that makes life, what is the purpose of life? And the purpose of everybody's life is different, I suppose. Some people are fairly superficial about life. They just want to make it through the day. Right? So at the basic level, you've got survival.
Okay.
Just got to survive. And if your purpose for being alive every day is just to survive to the end of it, I feel kind of bad for you, because we are living in an unprecedented era of happiness and wealth and opportunity and possibility. And if you just survive, if you're one of those people who's really just eking out an existence every day, I do kind of feel bad for you in a very serious, sincere way. I'm not going to mock you. I'm not going to say that it's stupid or it's puerile or it's superficial.
Right.
That's your thing. You're just trying to make it through the day. You need to fill your belly with food. You need to sleep. Maybe you need to have sex. You need to take a shit. That's what, like, the most basic existence, because animals do that. Right? An animal can do that stuff. But maybe that's what you're in at the moment. Maybe that's the space your mind is in. Then as you go up the chain, you get different levels of purpose and meaning and a reason to be alive. And right at the top, I suppose, you get meaning itself. Like, you have to be adding value to the world and taking some value out and kind of getting other people to feel something, to think something, to you're taking on other people's ideas. You're learning. I suppose that to me would be the apex reason to be alive. So that there's this constant movement of emotion, idea, if you believe in it, like a spirituality, sharing physical proximity with other human beings, laughing, having meaningful discussions, relationships.
You resonate with that physical proximity thing to a certain extent.
Well, not this week, because I've been feeling sick. But look, I mean, just because I don't like people, generally, and I mean, that's true for a lot of us, right? Don't sit there and be all superior with me. Like, you don't sometimes judge other people and think, I don't need you in my life. We all occasionally need some company. So I'm just very judicious about when I allow that company in. So what I'm getting at here is, I suppose that this lecture delivered an interesting idea about adversity, right? And adversity is different to struggling through your life at every turn, where everything is hard. Adversity is putting yourself into challenging situations so that you improve. That is an attractive proposition to me. Like getting yourself into situations where you're out of your comfort zone, you are challenging yourself, and they say epigenetically, we should talk to Timothy Maurice about this at some point, but on a biological level, you actually improve your DNA by putting yourself in difficult situations, by challenging yourself. If life is all comfortable, this is why you must never be jealous of someone else, if you think their life looks so perfect.
Mm-hmm.
If life is too comfortable, you don't grow, you don't improve, you just deteriorate. If you don't go to the gym, your body gets what? Fat and lazy.
Right.
If you aren't pushing yourself in some way, shape, or form, you will not see improvement in your life. This is why everybody who has this idea that it's about social science, that there's a system, that it isn't within your hands, it's full of crap. Because the honest truth is, no one else can make you fit. No one else can go to the gym and work out for you, yeah. Right? No one else can read the book that you are interested in for you, put that knowledge into your head. There's some things you've just got to realize you have to do. Same goes for making money. The same goes for doing a job that you enjoy and love, that you're good at. The same goes for your relationships. The best relationships in the world need a lot of maintenance, need a lot of work. They need constant adversity. Otherwise, nothing happens. And this lecture was just, I found it very interesting because to me, the guy was just saying what I've thought for a long time. And he, I think, put it into words in a way that I couldn't. So I was very pleased to stumble upon this during my sniffing and snorting and coughing this week with a cold. But I'll tell you who's on the line is our friend Debbie in Washington. I'm so happy. I was arguing with you on Facebook earlier this week, Deb. Debbie, you there? She on Skype?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Okay. It's not coming on for some reason. All right, let me see if I can get her on there. So we were arguing at the beginning of this week, and I'm so nervous now to bring up Donald Trump. I know that there are people who are not interested in him who listen to us. He is right now the singular most important factor in world politics. I don't think anyone's going to argue with me about that. It definitely isn't Theresa May or Angela Merkel. So this guy comes up, and for love or hate me, I love America. I love Americans. I got a lot of friends over there. And I'm fascinated by American politics. So if you don't want to hear about Trump, then I'm sorry. It's going to come up from time to time. But Debbie and I were arguing about that earlier this week. How are you, my friend?
I'm fine. Can you hear me? I can barely hear you.
Debbie, I can hear you. How are you?
Hold on. Let me fix this.
No, there's nothing wrong. It's fine. Okay. I can hear you perfectly.
There you are.
Yeah, what's going on?
Well, I just got back from the South African embassy. We were celebrating Freedom Day, Mandela Freedom Day.
Right.
And
oh my God, it's tomorrow. Yeah. That's right. Freedom Day is tomorrow.
Yeah.
I totally forgot. I forgot tomorrow's Freedom Day. Shit. I'm so sorry.
An American has to tell you it's Mandela Day. We had a huge celebration at the embassy, and then tomorrow the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is doing a big forum, a Mandela forum, with Secretary Madam Albright, who I love.
Okay, I remember Madeleine Albright.
Yeah.
She was Bill Clinton's Secretary of State, and she wrote a brilliant book called Madam Secretary, which I actually read. She signed it for me. I went to a breakfast with her once in San Francisco.
She is delightful. I actually have met her, and she's very girl power and, you know, all about women's, you know, rights and issues. I love her, so you know why I love her.
You would.
And,
yeah.
And then on Saturday, we're having a wonderful celebration with all the Mandela foundations called Mandela 100 Gala, and it's going to be at the African American Museum.
Listen,
I was hoping that you would be here for it.
I probably shouldn't tell you this, but because it's good for us that Americans think of Mandela so much. But you know he's not our president anymore, right? You know he's dead.
Yeah, he's dead. I know. Just, yeah, I know he's dead, but he's probably one of the most wonderful people ever. And I wish you got to meet him, didn't you, Gareth? I never got to meet him.
Yeah, I did. You know what? He was an exceptional human being. And I mean, he's you know, like anybody, when they die, their legacy comes under fire. And there are a lot of people in this country who just do not appreciate what an incredible leader he was at the time that he came. And there are I just don't know
after 27 years of being in prison if I could have been that forgiving. So I always marvel at him. And I like the fact that, you know, some of the things I've read about him, that he wasn't like this, you know, serene God. I mean, he had his moments.
Oh, yeah, sure.
He was rather frisky when he was young. And I loved, you know, learning about the real Mandela and not, you know, necessarily the legend and the myth. So, but anyway, we're going to have a great weekend celebrating him. And, you know me, I'm proudly South African as an American too. So how are you? You sound like you're sick, but you got very philosophical there for a moment.
Yeah. I was just thinking about the meaning of life, you know, something light for a Friday morning.
Friday morning for you. I haven't begun yet. I have to sleep and then wake up and say, oh God, it's Friday. It's great. Bill is here. He wants to say hi.
I need to talk to Bill. Bill, how are you, man?
I'm good.
Awesome.
Hanging in there.
So, Bill, I know that you used to be a Republican once. I just want to quickly ask you what you think of what's left of the candidates for the Democratic Party. And now that Joe Biden, creepy Joe, is in the race.
Don't call him creepy.
Who are we backing? Exactly, 20,000 of them. Which one are we most in favor of in the household over there?
Who do you like?
I like Joe Biden. I do.
We're talking a lot of talk about the gay guy from Indiana. I don't even know how to say his name yet. It's kind of like I didn't know how to say Obama's name.
His name is Mayor Pete Buttigieg.
There you go. You know, see, you know more than I do.
That's okay.
Well, he has to.
But you know, like this Christian movement is already going out and saying, "Oh, he can't be Christian and gay." I mean, it's ridiculous. But this, have you checked up on him, Gareth? He is a cool dude. I mean, he's known for being gay. He's married. It would be a fabulous White House if he got into the White House.
Yeah, all right.
Absolutely fabulous. Biden, we love Biden, actually.
Yeah, I like Biden, too. I mean, I think he's, he's constantly making stupid statements and falling over his own face and saying ridiculous things in the press. But that's the guy you get. And I mean,
he's like our president now, right?
Correct. So I got to tell you something. Like, if you know some of the people in the Democratic Party there, and I know you do, if they really want to win the election, they cannot go with a Bernie or a Kamala Harris or any of those people.
Absolutely.
They got to go with Biden. Otherwise, they haven't got a hope in hell.
You know, it's funny. The young people, I think you're right. And, you know, like a lot of the, I hang out with a lot of young people because I'm an EMT. And they're kind of saying Biden's time is over, that we need to move it. But then you talk about, you know, our generation and they're like, no, we need somebody, not, you know, a Republican wouldn't say this, but we need somebody to bring America back to where we're supposed to be, not where we used to be, where we're supposed to be.
You mean not where it's great again? You don't like America being great? You don't like the economy booming? You don't like the fact that that you're not at war with North Korea or anybody else? You haven't got that stupid Iran deal and you aren't being forced to have Obamacare. If you don't want that, you can keep your own doctor. You don't like that?
No. You know what? That's what you think America should be like, apparently, but not my America. That's what I said to you last week, and I will continue saying that. And I think that you always know how to drag me into an argument, Gareth. You just pull me along. You can't really think about all this. You can't like this man. There's no way in hell you can like this man. I love you too much.
Debbie, the big difference between you and me is it's not personal. Like I don't have to like my president. In fact, in this country, the only president I've ever liked is Mandela. I don't like any of them. I don't want to be friends with politicians. I know you live in D.C. and you make friends with a lot of these people. And some of them are actually probably deep down inside really good people. But sometimes the best people who you want to have as friends don't make great presidents and don't make great CEOs and don't make great officials. Sometimes those people are actually horrible people, but they get stuff done.
You know what? I totally agree with you. I didn't like Bush. In fact, I mean, you know, he's looking really good to me right now, but I didn't like him, but he was still my president. And, you know, you probably feel the same way. Maybe about a few, what was it, Zuma? I mean, okay, let's not even get into him. But, you know, when you remember when Venezuelan president came up and he said, you know, I smell sulfur in the UN. And I really got upset with that because even though I didn't like him, he was my president and nobody else was going to say that my president was the devil. But and I've said this before, but now. This guy's not my president. He's not a lot of people's president over here. And
bad news for you. He actually is, and there's nothing you can do about it, or all the Democrats with their pussy hats who are crying that Hillary wasn't the first woman president. It didn't happen.
You know what?
It's 2 years later. You've got to get over it.
I am over Hillary, and the Republicans are the ones that keep on saying that we haven't gotten over Hillary. I am so over Hillary. The only thing I worry about, and I agree with, you know, Biden had his big, bid for president today. And what he said was so true. If we have another 4 years, if he has been with us for 8 years, if he gets reelected again, which right now there's a really good chance that he will, then America will never be America again.
Never be the same.
It'll never be the same. And that makes me sad. And what Biden brings to the table is kind of like dad's coming home to take care of us. I mean, I hate to put it that way, but, you know, he's going to be...
You know what? This is exactly the difference between Democrats and Republicans. Democrats are looking for a daddy to come in and hug everybody and make them feel better. Republicans are looking for someone who just gets on with it and leaves them alone. The one is an adult response. The other one is a childish response. Come on.
No. Why can't we have both, Gareth? Why can't we have somebody that has respect for others?
You think Obama was respected in the world? The Middle East didn't care a damn for Obama. Most of your international partnerships under Obama were a joke. This Trump goes to talk to the most weird, wild, insane dictators in the world, and he gets them to do what he wants. That's respect.
That's bullshit. That's such bullshit. He went to Korea. It was all smoke and mirrors. Now they want to blow us up again because they're fighting.
Are you kidding me?
The only thing he's done is with Israel. He put the embassy, you know, in Jerusalem. He doesn't know what the hell he's doing. And look what he's done with the, with Europe and our allied
forces.
What's
he doing with Europe? Let me tell you something. He strengthened NATO. NATO is in a better position than it's ever been, and he's got some of those countries which have been relying on the U.S. to pay for their defense. They've done nothing for their own defense. He's got some of them to start paying for their own defense, which, let me tell you, shouldn't be the American taxpayer's job. You spent time in Berlin. You know exactly what I'm talking
about. No, I do. I do. And I do think that there is a happy medium. But for insulting them and threatening to get out of NATO is ridiculous.
He's insulting Mexico, which is a failed state on your border. You know that there are immigrants pouring over that border right now. You know that it's the most poorest border in the world.
Gareth, do you know why they're coming over the border? Because he stopped aid in these countries.
No. Come on, Debbie. They're coming across the border because they think that life would be better in America. And you know what? They're right. Because life is better in America right now than it's ever been. The economy's booming. There are jobs. And you know what's happening to those people in Mexico? They're being killed by drug cartels. They're living in constant fear. They're living in places like Honduras and Guatemala, which are shitholes. Exactly what Donald Trump called them. Would you want to live in Guatemala rather than in D.C. where you are now? Hell no. Come on. That doesn't make sense. If America was such a horrible place, why would people try to get into America the whole time instead of running away?
This is true. I agree. America is a wonderful place. However, you've got to be smart on why these people are coming over. You can't cut off aid and then expect these people not to come.
What do you think is happening to that aid? What do you know? What happens to that aid?
What happens to the aid?
Do you think it's going to help mothers and children and people who can't help themselves? Do you think it's going to supply food or medical care or anything? It's not. It's going straight to, in Mexico's case, people who shouldn't have it. Criminals, warlords, gangsters, people who are only making the situation worse. He's right to cut off aid to these countries. What on earth do your taxpayers, people like you and Bill, what do you have to do with having to fund some Mexican's life? Why don't their government fix it? You know why? Because
it's not even Mexico.
They're a disaster.
Gareth, I think that there are basic human rights that we have to respect when it comes to bringing people over. And, you know, do I think that there should be a strict system? Absolutely. But to take their children away.
Hey, Obama was the one who put kids in cages, and I didn't hear you saying a thing. Now that Trump's doing it, you've got a problem with it.
So not true.
It is true. It is true. Go and look it up. Deb, there are 1,000 sources we can find on this. Go and look up when kids were put in. You know those pictures that you were worried about last year with the kids in the cages? Those were taken during the Obama administration. And you know that's true. Fact check it.
No. There were cages that were made. These kids were put in there temporarily. They weren't taken away from their parents.
During the Obama administration.
You're looking at too much of Fox News,
no,
Gareth.
I don't even get Fox News here. That can't be true for me.
Well, then you're looking at it online.
Oh, come on.
You're
watching too much CNN and MSNBC. That's the problem.
You know, it's really funny because I have CNN on right now. That's
right,
so funny.
Listen,
it's on mute.
You know, if anything can be proven, it is that you and I can still be friends when we completely disagree about all of this stuff. You don't know how good you've got it under Trump. And one day, you'll know. One day you'll be, that guy was great.
God.
Let me tell you what's going to happen.
Oh, my
God.
You're going to lose.
Yeah, let's just place a little friendly bet and then move on to other things because I don't think everybody's as interested as you and me. I will bet you that Donald Trump is going to be your president from 2020 for another 4 years.
Oh, my fucking God. I hope you are. I am so.
Listen to how you lose your mind.
What do you want to bet? What
such
do you
an
want
emotional
bet?
Reaction.
What do you want
to bet? Oh, my God. Let's put $100 on it. Come on.
All right. $100 in dinner. I want dinner, too.
All right, done. I like it. All right.
So now, look, when are you guys coming to D.C.?
Sia wants to come over in like June or July. So he's going to arrange that with you.
Sia?
But I might come over
Sia
at the same
and I
time.
I talked about it.
Yeah.
Sia and I have talked about it. He knows that my house is open to him. We are going to have a blast.
Are you
going to
take him around D.C. and show him all the important things that he needs to see? Because he's never been to the U.S., right?
I'm going to take him to Washington. We'll see all the monuments. I'll introduce him to some very cool people. And if he wants to meet politicals, we can do that. Mm-hmm. We'll
only
have
Democrats.
A wonderful time. Yeah, only Democrats, Bill.
Of course, yeah, right, exactly.
And trust me in this case, because I actually emailed Debbie and I were chatting a few weeks ago, and I was like, Debbie, there's an Oprah exhibit happening in D.C.
Oprah exhibit, oh.
I didn't know that. And this is, you know what? I'm hoping, I don't know, it's going to be kind of crazy Saturday night. Obama is our host on Saturday night. I am so excited.
Oh, my goodness.
And I don't barf, Gareth.
Debbie and Bill, I'm really happy to see you, Debbie, Bill. It's great. Michelle and I are thrilled to have you.
Okay, thank you very much, Deb. Nice to talk to you. Bill, lots of love.
Michelle will show up, but I think she's on a book tour.
Yeah.
No, I'm excited. And when I get my photo taken with Obama, I'll make sure and send it to you.
Yes, very nice.
Sia will love it. I don't know about you.
Fabulous.
No, I didn't mind the guy. Let's not cast aspersions. All right, be good, you two. Lots of love.
Okay, love you guys.
Thank you so much.
There's our Americans. By the way, Leanne's not in this morning. She's feeling sick. Like most of South Africa.
I actually loved her words.
What did she say?
Razor blade throat other cuck flu symptoms. That just encapsulates it all. And then Ben is still somewhere with no Wi-Fi. That's all I know.
Are data costs killing you? Well, your future is lit with this game changer from Telkom. Become a Cliff Central listener, series binger, a playlist connoisseur, an ultimate movie buff. Access music services, TV series, movies, games, YouTube, and now even Cliff Central podcasts without using your data. Get to cliffcentral.com for a step-by-step guide on how to get lit with Telkom. It reminds me of a story I read just 2 days ago. I know if you listen to us, maybe you listen to some podcast, and there's a business that started up in America called Lumosity, and they're like a subscription podcast service. So if you don't like the ads, like I was just telling you about Telkom, If you don't like that, you can get Lumosity and you pay them like, I don't know, $9 or $10.
Luminary,
whatever. They're not going to, it's not going to work. So yeah, you don't need to remember this one. But they have this podcast subscription service where if you listen to any podcast from anywhere in the world, they'll cut out the ads and you can get it on their platform. And do you know that the listeners are actually complaining, saying they prefer the ads?
Already?
Yeah, they're actually saying, in it's the weirdest thing. Like, this has never happened in the history of media where people actually go, no, you know what? We don't mind the ads. Because we know the music's, I mean, the music, the money's going straight to the people who make the content for us,
mm-hmm.
which is what we appreciate. That's why we come. And that the ads actually occasionally are very good. They do things for us because people who advertise in podcasts are usually not people who are selling something crap because you know it's going to come up, right? And there's no more honest place in the world than in podcasts. People can speak their mind. You can have a debate like Deb and I just had. You can have an opinion and it's never out of line or unacceptable or you used foul language because we're all adults here. So I think people get that. And from an advertising point of view, you know, there are so many people in advertising who still don't understand that if you don't talk to podcast listeners inside podcasts, you don't get them anywhere else. Podcast listeners aren't listening to the radio or watching TV. It's the same as once you go to Netflix or, you know, Hulu or Amazon TV or whatever it is that you go to, your subscription service.
Yeah.
Once you start doing that, you never go back to normal TV. I cannot tell you, have you watched SABC 1, 2, or 3 in the last 3 months, if you have any of those services? If you don't, obviously you have to watch SABC. But honestly?
No.
No. And I can
Goodness,
promise you
that
I
is
haven't.
A surprise.
It's amazing. So in 3 months, if people were advertising on just SABC, which is expensive, let's say you know, that Omo washing powder, they're busy advertising on television.
Right.
And you need to go and buy washing powder, and top of your mind is not Omo. And if they've only been on TV, they didn't reach you.
Mm.
They've been spending millions for the last 3 months on television. They will not get a podcast listener or a Netflix viewer. You're out of range for them. So for big advertisers, this is a bit of a wake-up call. If you're not in this ecosystem, you do not exist to the people who live in it.
Well, let's see how this Luminary shapes up. They've put in more than $100 million into this. Mm-hmm. And they're saying, no, we have so many exclusive shows.
No, it's great. Listen, let everybody try. It's a bit late. We were going to charge a subscription when we started this. And I just thought, ugh, do people need another stumbling block?
Mm.
You know, we were trying to convert people from traditional terrestrial radio and other stuff that they were doing in the analog world to digital and to doing things online. I thought, you don't need another stumbling block in your way. So, and why charge people if they are giving you their time? It's already costing them data. So I'm very happy with the decisions we made.
Yeah.
I think it's great. And I wish these guys well, but I don't think it's going to work. All right, some news. You want to get into a couple of news stories?
Five things you need to know.
I know that we did dip into American politics, but we're not talking politics on a Friday. That's the usual rule here. Durban flood victims have been forced to sleep on a floor in a hall, and there are promises of aid, but none of it's coming. Umlazi has been pretty hard hit. You know, Umlazi is in that area right between Amanzimtoti and Chatsworth, effectively.
Yeah, my grand lives there. I'll be seeing her this weekend.
Right, so Umlazi is very hard hit by these floods. That's where most of the rain came down and most of the damage has been done. And they're in a desperate situation. They're in need of assistance. Many people being forced to sleep on the floor of a community hall without mattresses. At least 75 people are being housed at a temporary shelter in Umlazi's Q section, which is one of the hardest hit areas. Officials say that the death toll in the province has risen to 67, while four others were killed in the Eastern Cape. Apparently, Eyewitness News that this story comes from visited a hall in Umlazi where flood victims were given shelter and food.
Hmm.
But that shelter and food is not coming from the government, by the way. To just be clear, after my argument with Pumi yesterday that the government are doing something, well, no. Government are only doing things where private individuals are forcing them to. In Johannesburg, The city of Joburg's waste management entity, Pick It Up, has cleared all the waste backlog in Alexandra, which is good news. The collection followed the entity's failure to render services during the service delivery protests in the township. Over 3 weeks ago, Alex residents went on a rampage blocking the streets with burning objects and garbage. The protests were part of the residents' shutdown campaign, which a lot of people are saying was just orchestrated by the ANC ahead of the elections. You know, ANC cares so little about people who are meant to be their supporters that they will they'll disrupt everyone's life before the election. They will stop kids from going to school. They will stop hardworking people from being able to get to work. They will stop clinics from opening. They will ruin the streets. They will strew rubbish everywhere. This is what the ANC are prepared to do to their own supporters in order to create havoc before an election. Just let that sink in a little bit. It doesn't make sense, right? It just is the most insanely selfish, self-serving, cynical thing to do. And yet in this country, the biggest political party gets away with this. Unbelievable. In other news, we've got a story about the Vaal Dam. It's apparently not as full as we think.
Oi.
People are saying we've got to save water, but they're preparing for the upcoming winter season. The dam's 90% full due to heavy rainfall. But you know this Department of Water and Sanitation, they can't get their shit together. So they're saying, just use water sparingly. Now, I don't know anyone, and if you know people like this, then please report them to the police or whatever you have to do. I don't know anyone who just leaves a tap open for no good reason. I don't know anyone who just switches on sprinklers or whatever in their garden, just keeps them on forever. I don't know anybody who's letting water just run down into the stormwater drains. The only place that happens is when the municipality don't fix a leaking fire hydrant or a major pipe on a big street intersection. That's where you see water wastage. Most people aren't really wasting water, as far as I can tell. Certainly not responsible adults. And I know we've got a shortage of those in this country. But it's up to this department to manage what we've got. The Vaal Dam 90% full. Why are they issuing warnings that we've got to be careful?
I think it's because they know how most humans are. You know, we think it's an us and them issue so far away. Okay, we won't worry about it now. I actually think it's a good thing they're warning us now.
Maybe you're right.
Because heaven forbid they start screaming and shouting when it's only 40% full. We aren't going to act as quickly. Look at how people had to be shamed in Cape Town.
Yeah,
when they
true.
Were saying we're going to release lists of properties that are
who
abusing
water, yeah.
And people still didn't change. So it's actually frustrating that we have to start with
warnings
maybe
now. Maybe we need to be treated like children. Maybe I assume too much about how people are responsible. Most people obviously are not. Okay, so there's a bit of a wake-up call.
Yeah, definitely.
And then talking about the Vaal Dam, there was a two-year-old's body that was found weighted down with a stone.
This is a crazy story.
In the Vaal River, in a place called Delportswoop, in the Northern Cape. So apparently they undertook a 6-day search for a little girl, and it resulted in this gruesome discovery. The child was allegedly taken from a mother's home over the Easter weekend by a 41-year-old man who broke into the house and tried to rape the mother. Mm. The clothes the girl had been wearing at the time were found by the river earlier in the week. The child's body was found just before 1 p.m. on Thursday. A 41-year-old man was arrested and appeared before the Barkly West Magistrates Court on charges of attempted rape, housebreaking with intent to assault, and kidnapping. A murder charge would also be added for the death of the toddler. Oh, there are some sick people, huh? Yeah. And then he weighs down the body with a stone, throws it in the river.
There's just layers of sickness to an act like this. It's crazy.
See, I always says the killer is out there.
We were at a meeting earlier. When was it? Tuesday or Wednesday?
Tuesday.
And I didn't mean to ruin the mood, but we went into this particular office building here in Johannesburg, and I remembered very public act of someone who entered that building with a gun, just started shooting people. Ha!
So see a good old paranoid.
I don't know about you, but I thought...
The killer could be here.
I started looking at exits. Where's the nearest exit to me?
There's nothing wrong with being careful and being aware and, paying attention to your surroundings, but being paranoid is a whole different thing. Sri Lanka's Catholic churches have suspended all public services over security fairs on
Thursday. This is helping with the paranoia. Let's carry on with this.
Thousands of troops joined the hunt for suspects in the deadly Easter bombings that killed nearly 360 people. Security forces also made fresh arrests overnight for the attacks as the government's faced pressure over its failure to act on intelligence warnings about possible bombings. Recriminations have flown since suicide bombers blew themselves up in luxury hotels and churches packed with what they're calling Easter worshippers, Christians. All right, this was an attack by Islamists on Christians. Let's call it what it is. When Sunnis and Shias attack each other, we call it internecine Islamic violence. When someone goes into a church and blows themselves up, that is called an attack on Christians. That's what it is. Otherwise, you wouldn't go into a church. You'd go into shopping malls. I don't understand why we have this cognitive dichotomy going on where people are unable to describe things for what they are. It's like if Caitlyn Jenner walks into the room, it's a he. Sorry. Just call it what it is. You can lie to yourself, but don't force me to lie. I'm not going to be brought into your lie, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
All right. So lots of other stuff going on. You know that Reach for a Dream are having their Slipper Day, right? It's a charity that makes dreams come true for brave little boys and girls with life-threatening illnesses. This is one of the most deserving causes in South Africa.
Right.
And they need your help ahead of Slipper Day 2019. It's their major fundraising drive. And you imagine, to try and make these dreams come true, they need some money. So you can make a contribution for just 10 rand at slipperday.co.za. You can buy a wristband in-store at Wimpy, Dischem, or Pick and Pay. And then all you need to do is get your friends and family involved. Wear your slippers to work, school, or wherever you want to on Friday the 10th of May. So that's not next Friday, the Friday afterwards.
Yeah, also was quickly doing the maths in my head.
Not all heroes wear capes, Sia. So no matter what you do, don't forget Slipper Day on the 10th of May. Reach for a dream, inspiring hope. So in a little while, it is exciting, and don't forget, 10th of May, put in your diary now, Slipper Day, make a 10 rand donation, and wear your slippers to work. I mean, sometimes the most comfortable shoes you have.
Can I wear my pajamas as well, or is that pushing it? If I'm extra supportive.
In this office, yes, you can.
I'll put an extra 10 rand.
Yeah, don't try and do that in one of the major financial institutions. I think they'll chase you out.
That's a reason for someone to shoot you as well.
So
just like the killer.
Here's Carl, just to follow on what Sia said earlier. Humans waste a lot of water. This one guy at the gym let the tap run while he gelled his hair for 10 minutes. I called him on it, and he got angry with me. Yeah, you see, but people hate being called on how stupid they are. It's like in traffic. Someone does something dumb.
I don't get that.
Someone does something dumb, and you correct them. They get cross with you, like you've done something wrong. Watch the documentary on Netflix called Explained. There's one about water shortages. They explained how the people of Cape Town basically created a miracle by using water efficiently. We all need to catch a wake-up. Kind regards, Carl. Well, there we go. That's spot on. All right. Sia's got an update on The Bachelor, which I know everybody who is still involved in The Bachelor is interested in. And what is it? There's a last episode next week?
No, two more episodes. Last night was episode 11.
Yeah. They got rid of they've only got three girls left now.
There were three girls left.
Oh.
There's now the top two.
So what do they need two shows for?
Next week, the girls go to Lee's house, and then there'll be the bumper last episode, which will be the woman tell all, and then we'll get to see who Lee chooses. Oh, it's getting so juicy. Should we do the update now or after 7?
No.
Okay, after 7.
No. Let's go to Sid by Sia.
Oh, this is so exciting. I'm bringing the story up simply because we brought him up in random discussions a few weeks ago. He's the man who, you know, looked after us after school. He's the man whose excitement made us excited. He's the man who made maths seem simple, so he lied to us. It's William Smith. So congratulations to him. Last night were the National Order Awards. These are the awards handed out by the president to various citizens, and also some honorary mentions of global people as well, who have done exemplary and amazing things for the country. And And so one of the people on the list was the legend. I think it's right to call him a legend,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, sure.
William Smith, the maths teacher that many South Africans grew up with. He was honored with a national order last night for his excellent contribution to the teaching and what they call demystification of maths and science. So the ceremony was held in Pretoria last night, and William was just being acknowledged for all of his groundbreaking work, you know, with the TV program in the 1990s, the Learning Channel on SABC2, and he obtained financial support to run a very expensive TV operation while he was just an ordinary teacher. So that,
I think that was brought to you by Liberty in those days. Mm. And I think they deserve some kudos for having jumped in with something that really made a difference to thousands, even hundreds of thousands of maths and science students. I used to watch him, and
it was that projector, the colored pens.
It was all over his hands the whole time. And you know what? This is exactly why you should have national orders and decorations and awards. You should have it for people who've improved the lives of other people. You shouldn't just be giving this to your struggle buddies. And unfortunately, all these orders have really become like things that the president throws at friends of his in order to make them feel better about themselves. And a guy like William Smith is a super deserving human being.
Absolutely.
I couldn't agree more. And can you imagine, we have a big problem with maths and science education in this country. It's one of the reasons I got involved with the Educate initiative so many years ago,
mm-hmm.
where they made cinemas available on a Sunday for matric students to go and do revision of maths and science, and it was brilliant. That was when Telkom were involved in it. This guy has probably made more people literate in maths and science and opened up a world of physics and chemistry and geometry and algebra to people than any other single teacher ever could. And there are a lot of good teachers in schools, but their audiences aren't as big. And when he was on TV, it was also more entertaining than most of the crap that was on TV.
Yeah, he got so excited about what he was doing.
What a guy.
Yeah.
So deserving.
The national orders are the highest awards that South Africans can receive. So this is when the president bestows a national order upon a citizen or a member of the international community who has contributed towards making the country a democratic and successful country. And so William Smith's order was the Baobab in silver, and that's awarded to South African citizens for what the awards call distinguished service in the fields of business and the economy, science, medicine, technological innovation, and community service. What I loved is in a matter of minutes that this was announced, and the president's Twitter account also uploaded this onto his social media last night. William Smith started trending on Twitter. He was trending at number 2 from 5 p.m. yesterday. With so many people just like sharing all of their memories. So here's some of the funny ones. Ayanda Dlamini on Twitter said, "Who remembers eating their leftover lunch while watching this one on TV after school? I didn't always understand, but his energy was awesome. So congratulations, William Smith. Glad that we could honor him while he was still alive." Fatima said on Twitter, "I shed a tear seeing this man again. These are real South African heroes. William Smith was a wonderful teacher." And then finally, Kanye said, "A true legend. His love and passion for education and mathematics saw many of us through high school. A well-deserved honor." So for Seb Basia this morning, I think it's only right to say congratulations to William Smith and actually some and all of the other award winners from last night. So Mizi's mother was awarded.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool.
She's a legendary actress. And also Machaka got an award last night.
Oh, Yvonne Chaka Chaka. Good.
Yes. And there were a bunch of other people as well who were noted. So congratulations to all of them.
Very, very nice. That's said by Sia for this morning. Quick Bitcoin and Ethereum update. Bitcoin 5275, dropping just a little bit, and Ethereum at $156. So $5,277 for Bitcoin and $156 for Ethereum. We're going to be starting a brand new cryptocurrency update once a week, which will start very, very soon. And an interesting new company that has entered the fray there that we'll tell you about too. All of that is on the way. Any plans for the weekend? What are you up to?
Well, I'm going...
It's a normal weekend. It's only 2 days, so you're going to feel a little bit hard done by.
Yeah.
But we do have Wednesday next week off.
Which is still just very arbitrary and right in the middle. I'm going down to Durban this weekend. We have our family funeral. I just made it sound like a bunch of people died in my family. My uncle's funeral.
Like a whole, so, the whole family.
The whole funeral, family's yeah. dead. All it's right. my uncle's funeral tomorrow. So, yes, it is a sad occasion, but it's also being able to see the family and spend time with them. So I haven't seen some members in a while, but I'll probably come back on Monday with tons of family drama as well, because that's just going to happen.
Oh, yes. You've got to tell me about Aunt Tabitha.
I can predict that already. It's right. going to happen.
I got to play this for you quickly. Casper De Vries once did a William Smith parody where he was wearing the jacket and he was in front of the screen just like William Smith was, and he had his hands full of, like, pen, and here's Casper doing his thing. I love this.
Welcome again to the Learning Channel. Oh, folks, we're going to be teaching you a lot of wonderful stuff today. We've got Islima. She's calling from KwaZulu-Natal, and she wants to tell us something. Hello, Islima, are you well?
Hello, you well?
I'm fine. Okay, what's your question?
To be.
Let me write it down. Great. So it is... XY is less than 3 ton
okay.
equals M whip over infinity RU to a square pi. Right. This is an easy one, folks. How do we solve this problem? First of all, what is this? It's a fucking parrot. But it's not applicable. So, we take the x away. How do we do this, Islima? We take the x away because we've got two people. The two people were married. The one separates from the other and is called the x.
Okay.
That's right. So the x goes and eats the pie. Yeah.
The pie.
It's a steak and kidney pie. So we get rid of the x. We get rid of the pie. We are left with the Y.
But why?
Why?
I don't know.
No, Islima, I'm telling you, I'm not asking you here. Y is less than 3 ton equals M whip over UR. We take the UR over to before the equal sign. Why do we do that? Islima, why do we do that?
I don't...
Because I say so. Okay. So we got UR equals Y... 3 ton over M whip is more because we had a less than sign before the equal. Now we take the little fucker and take it to after the equal sign. So it becomes more. It becomes a more sign. Now we nearly got the answer. Can you see the answer coming? Can you? Okay, because here it is. The M whip goes away over the 3 ton. So we are left with what? We are left with UR and the more sign and the ON from ton. So is Lima, you are a moron.
Okay. Okay.
That's Casper at his best doing what I wish he'd do more of. The Learning Channel. Wow, what a thing, huh?
Yeah, I think some of us even, because I didn't really experience a lot of William Smith myself when I was in school, because by the time I got to high school, he was done with that. But I remember just like sitting while my sisters were watching him. And I'm thinking, what is going on here?
Mm-hmm.
There was just tons of confusion.
Yeah, it was very unique and I think addressed a problem in South African education. And you know, the other good thing about William Smith is he didn't belong to SADTU, so classes weren't interrupted for no good reason, and teachers weren't drinking at the Shebeen rather than actually teaching. Just saying.
That's, you know. It's also a good point.
Yeah, sometimes it's good to have someone who actually cares about education teaching rather than someone who's just trying to fill a space in a job roster and get paid, because that happens a lot more than you would think. All right, so we're going to come back with a couple of things. Sia's got the Bachelor update.
The Bachelor update. We've been waiting. Three women went to Mauritius with Lee. What happened?
We're going to talk about Amal Clooney. We've got some stuff about Ford owners, and they've been complaining about something which is kind of disturbing. And then a big victory for Netflix. So we'll talk about all of that and more. Plus, we've got an update for you on the Game of Thrones death pool, because someone asked about that yesterday.
Oh.
It could have been the day before. I think they asked on Wednesday morning about the death pool for Game of Thrones. So if you were wondering about that, that is all on the agenda in a little while. A few other things that are coming through in terms of messages. Someone just sent a really cheesy, really stupid joke. Do you feel like a really cheesy, really stupid joke this morning? And I mean really cheesy. So,
really?
So cheesy I'm ashamed.
It's Friday. Okay, let's
it's
see.
It's that bad. Do you want it?
Okay, why not?
Morning, guys.
Oh, you're already, like, not into it.
I have a joke for you.
Wait, do they leave their name? Let's name and
no,
shame them first. Oh.
Okay, so, morning, guys. I have a really good joke for you. Why do you not gamble at the zoo?
Why don't you gamble at the zoo?
Because there are cheetahs. I mean,
yes!
Yes. Thank you for that.
It's bad. I'm just...
Oh, that's the worst. I needed that like a hole in the head.
It puts Gord's corniness.
Embarrassing.
This is CliffCentral.com.